Fox News and live FM talk radio. KKFT 99.1 FM talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Phone number is 884-9910. Hello! I'm John Potter, live and local till noon today and every Saturday 9 to noon. Just want to finish up what I was saying about, who would you like Trump's running mate to be? 884-9910. I bring this up because they're showing like they consider three people the finalists, and that would be Marco Rubio and, of course, Tim Scott and this Doug Burgum. I hope it's either Scott or Rubio, myself, or they don't talk about Nikki Haley anymore. Even though she said she'd vote for him, I think people consider that she already burned her bridges and she's in solitary confinement with a lady who shot her dog. I don't know. But again, what I want to finish up what I was saying about why she said she was going to vote for Trump, and this is Nikki Haley. Again, I believe in a world of grown-ups where it's not about do you want to go to lunch together, but rather can you work together to save our country? And I believe with the extraordinary skills of Nikki Haley as VP, I think our country would be in good hands. Do you? I also believe that's a ticket that could win because I believe Nikki Haley is a capable and competent enough person to be president of the United States. In this election, we have to consider that, right? Don't you think? Much better option for president than Kamala Harris, right? And in this race, we really have to consider those VP candidates. And I hope Trump picks Haley or Rubio. I think he'd be one who's, I think he's a pretty smart guy. So I'll see what you feel on that. Border, the White House, I got to say, the White House got the headlines it wanted, right? On Tuesday, President Biden declared that he was using executive authority to create a new emergency, policy regime at the U.S.-Mexico border, which would prevent people who crossed illegally from receiving asylum in the U.S. The declaration uses the same provision of immigration law that President Trump used for his travel bans, suspending the entry of most people who come without papers or an appointment at a point of entry, uses the same language. But when, of course, Trump brought this up and proposed it, Biden tore it apart. Well, now Biden is going for the same exact thing. So, you know, here's the thing. You have a president who, right before an election, when polls show his policy of an open border is intensely unpopular with people across the country, to include a fair percentage of members of his own party, if that president then, wanting to curry favor with the voters, changes policy, reverses his position, and says, we're going to turn them away, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Do you say, well, hold it. You're only doing it to boost your poll numbers, or do you say, yeah, better late than never. Thank you for coming around. I think in fairness, it's a mix of all those. I think the beauty of elections, all right, you probably haven't thought of this, but the beauty of elections is that they finally react, even though it may be a short time, they finally react, they being the candidates or the people in office. They finally react to what the public says, and their dissatisfaction brings pressure to bear. The dissatisfaction from the public brings action. It brings about accountability. And if you have to squeeze a politician to get what you want, this right now is your time to squeeze away. And if public pressure, him looking for public favor to win an election, gets him to change policy, then for that, we are grateful. I think you can say that it's insincere if it took him 3.5 years to do it. You know, you may think, oh, I think he's come around. He sees now the importance of securing the border and stopping the drugs and the crime from getting over. Or you might say, this is a crock. He hasn't given a damn for over 3 years about that. It's an election stunt. Likely is, because what they are not talking about now, which is unaddressed and unresolved, is the 9 million who already came across the border during his presidency. What do we do about them? And by the way, I've heard different numbers. That's the low estimate, 9 million. The high estimate is 12 million. That's a difference of 3 million. And when you can be off by 3 million in your estimation, it sure shows that we don't know much about how many people came across, how much we don't know. If it is the low estimate of 9 million, that's the entire population of Nicaragua. It's like we let in a country. And and the longer people are in your country, the stronger their argument is for staying. You know, they have anchor babies and they get married, numbers grow. So you have to act sooner rather than later. But they're not even talking about that, and I suspect nothing's going to be done. If Trump wins, he might do something. If Biden wins, I suspect some effort is going to be made for citizenship. So it kills me this week's presidential executive order didn't happen 4 years ago, or 3 years ago even. But that's what it is, which is not perfect, and it's years too late, and it's really all for show. Because it's bound to get overturned in the courts, by the way. It's a non-issue now because the U.S. Refugee Act of 1980 doesn't even require that they seek asylum to stay in the U.S. Yeah, that's our law, by the way. So you got to change the law, in case you didn't know. 10:13 is our time. I'm John Potter. Phone lines are open, 884-9910. And anything new, Craig, from Carson City?
Oh, no, nothing really new. We did learn that Sam is running behind, so she'll be here at 10:30 to join us. So Dog Coach Academy, Sam, great lady. So she'll be in our Carson City studio with me. Let's see.
We're supposed to have one now, but again, this person, too, listened to the show, so...
You know what? You're right. Yeah, we were supposed to have.
I'm getting very paranoid here.
You know, I'm wondering today, with all the with all the events going on, people might have had, problem with.
That's
motorcycles getting, going through
or
downtown.
That's what people
Reno
have been telling me. Yeah. Oh, people are too busy, John. Well, at least hopefully we don't go off the air, and that seems to happen.
Has already passed. It would have happened about 9:30.
I thought it happened last Saturday.
It did, but it's 9:32 last Saturday. Should have been 9:31 this Saturday.
Now, one time it went off like at 10:30. You know what, Craig? Every time that happens, I get people emailing me with, "You really need to get a generator."
Yeah, it's not a power problem.
And there's a DeWalt generator on sale right now, John, at such and such store. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah.
People don't know what the problem is. I'm a jinx. I chase people away. Look at me. Escorted out the door, Channel 2. What can I say? 10:14 is our time. Let's take a break. I have to gather my thoughts. No guess. Must have been something I said. 884-9910 is our phone number. Taking a break, back in a few. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 10:15.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
I'm John Potter, live and local. Well, not completely live, but... It's already a long day. What can I say? Current temperature right now, just about 80 degrees in Reno. And as you heard, it's going to be hot today. Same old, same old. Our phone number is 884-9910. A little reintroduction. If you're new to me, I spent most of my life in Nevada. First came here in 1975. Worked morning show radio here in Reno then. And then 20 years at Channel 2. And started this talk show 2 years and 3 months ago. I'm a conservative, happily married. I am close to Jesus, not the Republican Jesus and not the Democrat Jesus. If the real Jesus showed up today, oh boy, there'd be some definite reschooling going on, in my opinion. Okay, check it out on the calendar. Independence Day, July 4th, is now less than a month away. And did you notice that in a little over 2 years, July 4th, 2026, we celebrate the 250th anniversary of the founding of our country, the United States of America, 250 years old on that Independence Day in just 2 years. 250 summers since Thomas Jefferson and the boys there in Philadelphia signed their names at the bottom of a declaration. John Hancock, his big ego and a big name back then, wrote his name the largest of all, saying, "I don't want George III to have to put on his glasses to read my name." Brave men. Fellow old-timers, we do remember the 200th anniversary, our bicentennial, and I do remember the big, huge buildup to that bicentennial. It was electric, right? The celebration of the 200th anniversary of the United States of America was red, white, and blue all day, every day. It was a magic year. And a year or two before it arrived, the planning, the preparation, all of it was underway. America was looking forward to a very big birthday, well-deserved. See, back in the day, we earned the rips and the holes in our jeans. They didn't come ready-made. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's a completely different country. It obviously is. And by the way, you know, we paid a big price for tearing those jeans. It's a completely different world today, 50 years later. And I think that the 250th anniversary of the founding of this country, I don't even know if this country is going to commemorate it much. I haven't heard a thing about it. And I think, to be honest with you, that a large factor on whether or not we do celebrate big time depends on November. I believe if Donald Trump is elected president, then the 250th anniversary of American independence is going to be a very big deal. A lot of looking back at our founders and our history will recognize that we're standing on the shoulders of great people, and we'll challenge ourselves to live up to them. You know, we're going to love and respect our country, its founding and its history if Trump is elected. If Joe Biden's elected, I think that we're going to do something else. I think that as opposed to a time of celebration, it's going to be somewhat of a double look with a bit of shame, because I believe the Democrat Party at today's perspective of America and its history is that largely we are an oppressor nation founded by colonizers who need to be canceled. You know, the so-called founders to them are the bigots and suppressors of an earlier day. Cisgendered, heterosexual, white males, some of whom owned slaves, they would be contemptuously referred to as the dead white men who despoiled this continent and set the republic they started on a course of world oppression, right? When you have one party that believes in American greatness and believes we're a nation founded on great principles, and you have another party that believes that this country is the evil empire, that this country is the root of global oppression, that this country is the destroyer of the environment, that this country was established to subjugate women and non-whites and gay people, when you have a party that believes that the only path forward for the United States is a repudiation of the past and a re-education toward an entirely different kind of country, well, you're going to have two different types of celebrations. And whoever's in charge of the federal government is going to determine what kind of celebration this nation puts on. Do we celebrate our history, or do we have a day of not celebration but atonement, in which America must somehow repent of its past and disavow our founders and go forward to some new future role in a larger socialistic world? It may sound a little wacky, but I think this is exactly true. I think that's exactly what will come. What view of America will prevail? Because there are those of us who love it, and there are those of you who hate it. And if you went to some of our progressive politicians, you know, like the squad, the Democrat members of the House, or maybe to the college students who held those mass protests taking over campuses, and you ask them, what do you guys think we should do for the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States? What do you think they would say? By the way, you know, the last time this country experienced this level of civil unrest on campus, I gotta say the music was so much better. But anyway, here we are. We're about 2 years from this milestone anniversary, and to the best of my understanding, the best my Google can discover, there are no commissions set up to plan. There's no planning. Nothing of the sort that we had for 1976. I mean, remember how crazy the preparations were for the bicentennial? Oh my gosh. It was talked about for years. And that night on TV, it was all patriotic specials and the crowded parks at night and watching fireworks everywhere and Lionel Richie dancing. Well, most of it was good. I haven't heard a thing about the 250th coming up. We are taught by the power elites of America, I think, to hate our country. We're maybe the only nation on earth where that's the case. But we learn it in our classrooms, in our colleges, where it's all about change. Because America is bad. We need change. Be the change. They tore down our statues, even one of Abraham Lincoln and Kate Smith. Kate Smith, really? We are a nation where, you know, whose protesters as recently as last month desecrate the statues of people like George Washington because they're enlightened by TikTok. We're a nation taught by the evening news to hate ourselves. We're a nation created and enabled for the sole purpose of oppressing people. That's taught in our classrooms. We have an entire portion of our society that actively teaches hatred for the United States. So should we say our sins are so great we should just deconstruct our country? There are people out there who feel that. And it comes down to, do you love America or do you hate America? Has America been a blessing or a curse? Was July 4th, 1776, one of the greatest days in American history or human history, or one of the worst? And you know, you're going to get both answers in this age. And too many people in charge are going to give the negative answer. And back to the July 4th, 4th of July, something I've heard somewhere. On Independence Day, we honor those who made out the check of American liberty. And on Memorial Day, we honor those who signed it. And how the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States is marked will depend on who is elected president in November. If it's Trump, we're going to celebrate our history. If it's Biden, we'll disavow our history. We'll either remember our beginnings with pride or we'll apologize for it. You know, it's a funny thing. Just this week, I happened upon who of all people had it right about how our country is viewed today. Of all people, you can Google this, the Prime Minister of Singapore. I don't know where I saw this, but probably on YouTube, because, you know, YouTube is like the drug pusher. If you're looking for one video, you watch the video. Oh, then you see something else on the side. Oh, you got to see that too. And I don't know how, Craig, I stumbled upon the Prime Minister of Singapore. I don't know where I saw this, but he's sitting there, or where it was filmed. He's speaking in wonderful English, by the way, and he's talking about the phenomena of woke Americans. His name is Hysium Loom. Forgive me for any mispronunciation, but he's Prime Minister of Singapore. He's intelligent. He's thoughtful. And he says about woke America, he says it's not helpful or good for this reason and that. And you sit and listen to this man and you say, I wish we could vote for this guy. This guy is amazing. Why can't we have this guy running for president? Okay, thanks, Craig. I wasn't looking up at the screener. We have calls. So let's start with Joel in Dayton. Hey, Joel, thanks for calling. I'm John. Appreciate your call. Hey, Go ahead, Joel. Yes.
Yes, first-time caller. And I got to say, I'm really grateful that I live on the other side of the hill, if you will.
I don't understand.
I'm gay. I'll admit that. It's no big deal. Anybody that I work with, they know, I'm gay. No big deal. But this is like way, 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 way about beyond this whole woke thing. What they're doing, children in schools, and it's just, it's kind of creepy.
It is, and it's so alarming. It's really difficult to put into words. I struggle sometimes. I really do. And that's why I need two big monster McDonald's coffee cups to do this and get my mind working. But it's just, you know what, Joel? You don't know where to start. That's the thing. It is so effed up now. I don't know where to start because I had a privileged childhood. I was just apple pie America and a good, decent father knows best, leave it to Beaver family. I know a lot of people didn't have that, but a lot of people did have that. And so values are
what I have.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, middle, you know, average. Yep, I agree.
I'm glad. I'm glad you called, my friend. What's going on in Dayton this weekend?
Oh, who knows? I'm a hermit. I listen to radio. I don't even watch TV. I don't do TikTok. Not that I wouldn't, but, YouTube once in a while if I need to, like, figure something out or...
Yeah.
But that's about it. Otherwise, it's like radio and or music.
Wow. No TikTok. You're a rare man. Well, I appreciate your call, my friend. Hey, hermits unite, brother. Thanks for calling. Take care. All right, we got a break for Fox News now already. I'm John Potter. 884-9910, our number. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk. Time 10:31.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County. 99.1 FM Talk.
John Potter live and local each and every Saturday 9 to noon. And in the studio in Carson City, our first guest this morning is Sam Brueger of the Dog Coach Academy. Folks, there's nothing like a good life with a trained dog at home. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, it's okay. How are you? What's going on this weekend?
I'm just out and about training a dog early this morning and getting stuff done.
So. You know, I thought of you, Sam, when I saw this meme today. This German Shepherd dog and a cat are both looking out the front window at home, and the German Shepherd is saying, "The master's home, yay!" And the cat says, "You're late, slave."
That's about right.
I have three cats at home, and in our household, we just wear shirts that say staff. So, okay, not a big market out there for cat trainers, but people really need dog trainers. I think about this when I read all the countless, I mean, it's like every day, constant posts from people, next door, everywhere, Reddit, Facebook, people running into unruly dogs on their walks, attacking their dogs, sometimes biting their dogs or themselves. Is this why you became a dog trainer? You see the need?
No, I was inspired by different trainers and loved what I saw. They showed you the good stuff, and then when I got into it, you see the problems. You see the trouble
with the
that's
people.
Out there. Mostly. Yeah. What I want to say about the people is they don't think of training their dog when they adopt it. And the ideal time to start training your puppy is when it's 10 weeks and older. Start training it. And I honestly would say a good amount of training for a typical owner would be about 12 weeks where they go to class and work on those cues and stuff. But those attacks and stuff, you have to know what your dog's like. You have to know the potential. You need to know, can I handle this or not? There's a client I'm working with right now, and we're setting her up for success because this is a ginormous dog who's been excited behind a fence and stuff like that. And we're playing in the backyard right now till it starts connecting more with its dog, with its owner, before we're going to take that dog out, you know. And that's where a good trainer can help. A good trainer, because there's no regulation over dog training. Did you know that, John? There's no regulation over it. So that means anyone can call themselves a trainer. That means anyone can put out their shingle without having any education, without knowing what body language is, with watching TV shows and then just saying they're a trainer. So what I'm saying, if you get a good trainer that comes and helps you, or you go to the trainer, we can help you with strategies. We can help you figure out, how can I help you manage this dog? You know, and there's some tough dogs out there. Like I think I told you last time, just because a dog's smart doesn't mean it's going to be a great dog. Those smart dogs can get into so much trouble if they're bored, you know. Or so much trouble if they're smart and they have a high drive, they're going to figure out how to get into the cupboard that has all the food that they like, you know. So it's okay if you get that, if you're willing to get them the training, if you're willing to be trained, because mostly my job is to train the person. It isn't about the dog. I can most of the time, not all the time, most of the time I can get the dog to cooperate with me in about half an hour. You know, but I need to train. I need to train the owners on what to do. So what do, John, if you're walking down the street and your dog goes off on another dog? What would you do, John? You know?
Well, what do you think when you see all these accounts of hyper angry dogs out there? I mean, have you encountered them yourself when you're outdoors? And when you do encounter them,
we call that reactivity. And I actually have two reactive dogs, and I need to, there's lots of training out there now for reactive dog training where you can, use like a therapeutic method to help them. You know, help them feel better. But until then, you have to go to places where there's less people. But let's talk about first, those dogs' needs probably aren't being met. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably not getting the exercise they need. They're probably not getting mental stimulation.
I think that's the problem right there, because I think that more people spending so much more time on their computers, and especially these poor dogs who kids are spending so much time. Kids used to go outside and play with the dog. You don't really see that anymore. And it seems like the people have less control of their dogs these days.
And
I think
COVID,
what you just said is
COVID affected the dogs quite a bit too. COVID did. Go ahead.
Let me go back to you being, you walking, and there is an unruly dog, and people write about this all the time. This dog attacked my dog. How can you protect yourself from an unruly dog? What do you suggest that we use? Some people go overboard, and I'm not going to bring up the guy with the gun at Rancho San Rafael.
Yeah.
But what's a good deterrent? What can you use to protect yourself from?
I think I would carry some spray with me. I would learn how to use it first. I always, when I'm out with my dog, I always have my treat pouch on me. I learned in a class once, you can grab handfuls of treats. If a dog rushes at you, you can belt them in the face, and sometimes they stop and go, wow, treats, you know. But maybe that helps you for a moment to get them distracted so you can get out of there. If the dog approaches your dog, let your dog go. You know what I mean? It might have a chance if it's that intense. Let your dog go so it can get away, and it'll get you out of danger. One of my big responsibilities that, you know, no one taught me this. This is just how I feel. I need to protect the owner first, you know. If there's a big dog coming at your dog, I would let my dog go and see if they had a chance and try to do what I could to intervene in a safe way.
Yeah, instead of holding the leash of your dog and letting it be that standard.
You're setting them up. I saw a video where a woman's dog was killed in her lap because she would not let it go because this dog kept coming after her dog. And it had the dog coming after it, and then she wouldn't let it go. It was the most horrible thing I saw.
Sam, do you employ other trainers, or is your business just you?
Right now, it's just me. There's a few people that are interested. I am not willing to mentor or educate anyone if they have an education at this point. At this point, I'm not. If they have an education through organizations that I like, I would consider it, If they're willing to get an education to do that, I would do that. Because there's just so much an education that could cover that one trainer wouldn't be able to teach,
You know, it's fascinating to see that there's different types of dog training. The Caesar. There's the Caesar way, the whispering dog. What other types of training are there, and which ones do you personally offer?
I offer reinforcement-based training. I use Lima. What reinforcement-based training is I try to figure out what motivates your dog. Is it a toy? Is it food? Is it experiences? Is it affection? What can I use to motivate your dog? And so there's, I'm not really... I would say Caesar Milan is like a balanced trainer where they really don't use treats and stuff, and it's a lot about
I gotta say, watching it, it's kind of spooky to me.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
I don't know.
It's
like
he
walks.
Let me tell you about my way though, John. If I mess up, it does no harm to the dog. You know what I'm saying? It does no harm. I can start over. The dog still probably has a great relationship with me. If I mess up, let me give you an example. There was a puppy I worked with. It was 10 weeks old when it came. It was so cute, and it was always excited. It always wanted to play with other dogs. One day we were able, and it wouldn't pay attention to us, but we just keep working with them till we can get their attention. And other trainers maybe would have corrected it. Let's call it that. Would have corrected it. And I just try to lead a dog to a behavior I like, right? After a couple months of working with this dog, he came in by himself and we thought, great, there isn't going to be any distractions. Guess what? He kept ignoring us, John. Do you know why?
Why?
He was deaf.
Oh.
So what if I had been like poking him or smacking him or something like that? Could have done a lot of harm to that dog. And we had nothing to feel bad about. We just had to change a few things where he could really start progressing after that. So with reinforcement based training, it's really tough to mess it up. It's really tough. And it can help about 99% of dogs. Now, there is training for police dogs, right? It's that's like the military. Only about a third of the dogs that make it through academy after they pass the test to get into academy make it, right? Mm. But I'm for every dog. I'm for every dog, but sometimes they're tough,
Yeah.
And it takes extra work. It takes extra work.
Yeah, it has to. It can't be as easy as what Caesar. They must edit that TV show with Caesar. The dog can be a total nut, and the minute he walks in the door, I don't know if there's some hypnotism going on or some editing. It just doesn't. I mean, what's the first when you open the door and see the dog? Is there a certain look that you give to make that dog calm down like that?
What I would do. If I have an excited dog, let's say excited, I don't even want to talk about aggression because that's too complicated for radio. If I have an excited dog, first, before I get there, I want the owner to have the dog on a leash, and I'm going to not look at it. I'm going to turn away or walk sideways, around it. I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to rub the carpet because all of those things that I just described to you are calming signals. And I'm going to wait until that dog calms down. And then when he calms down, I'm going to say, good boy, toss him a treat.
Nice.
You know? And he's going to get all excited again. And then I'm going to give him all of those calming signals and walk around slowly and calmly until the puppy or dog calms down and give him a treat.
Yeah. Bravo, Sam.
Yeah.
One more thing I want to bring up. So here it is, summer. Dog walking weather. By the way, when it's too hot, don't take the dog for a walk because the pavement burns.
Or train them to wear shoes. Train them to wear shoes.
Okay, good. And don't take him in the car anywhere. But I was told by a listener last week, John, if you ever get Sam, the dog training lady, on the air again, let everyone know that it's rattlesnake season and they are a big danger to dogs. She says she walks her terrier on Steamboat Ditch trail and wants to know how to stop a dog from not realizing the danger and dogs that actually chase after a rattlesnake and end up getting hurt.
I'll tell you, there's training for that. There's training. It's a one-day seminar. Get a hold of Dogs, Inc., D-O-G-Z, or Sarah Anderson. She actually does rattlesnake training. She does the workshops for that.
I didn't know that
was
a thing.
It's not fun. Don't take your brand new shelter dog to that. It's aversive. It's scary, but it works really well.
All right.
It works really well. Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about, Sam? Anything new with the business and any dog stories?
One of my favorite stories, or two of them now recently. There's a dog I was working with recently, big dog, and it was a widow that adopted this dog, and he's just exuberant with excitement and would become reactive when dogs would go out in front of his house. And she was a very good student. I only had to meet with her four times. By the third visit, she went camping with this dog. He saw squirrels, chipmunks. He saw deer. And guess what he did? This dog used to knock his mom over. He checked in with his mom. And she communicated with him. And he was calm with all of those situations. You know, that's like
wonderful.
The best. That's one of the best stories I could tell you. There's another dog who... because of her breed, she's meant to bite. I had bruises all over my arms because she lovingly would greet me with her mouth all the time. She's walking very nicely with a head collar now. She's able to greet people without jumping all over them and mouthing them and scratching them, you know, because she's excited. It takes a lot of work, but man, it feels so good when you get those results and that they're cooperating, you know, that...
Yep.
Those dogs are checking in and doing their best, you know?
Not jumping up and slobbering.
Yeah.
I was cured of that myself. But anyway, how can people contact you? And do you have room for more dog training?
Yeah, I have some classes coming up. I haven't been hitting the pavement that much. So I have some puppy classes coming up and adult classes coming up. You can call me at 775-830-7613. Also, if you have problem behaviors, I'm insured and bonded to work in people's homes. So
good.
I can come in home if you're uncomfortable taking your dog anywhere. So,
all right, Sam Brueger, the Dog Coach Academy. Sam, it's always fascinating to talk to you and learn about the inside life of dogs and how to have an easygoing, quiet home with a lot of love with the right training on your dog. I appreciate you, Sam, for taking the time.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Okay. John Potter here, live and local. Phone number 884-9910. Open topic, anything. We love local, though. I'll tell you that. We're going to be back in 3 minutes on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 10:53.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk and 99.1fmtalk.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Every Saturday I'm here, 9 to noon on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Current temperature 84 degrees in Reno, but it feels hotter. Well, of course it does. I'm John Potter. This is not my first rodeo, but I wish I had paid more attention during my first rodeo, if you know what I mean. I mean, some notes would have been helpful. But I know, just brush yourself off and get back on the dinosaur, as my dad said. That reminded me that little thing we just played, that, boy, early voting went by fast, right? I believe, I'm probably wrong on this, primary day, I believe, is Tuesday. Craig, you there? Yeah. I voted.
Yeah, that is correct, Tuesday, and early voting ended yesterday.
Have you voted? Did you go through the experience?
I did. I got the mail-in ballot 2 days before early voting opened. So I waited until early voting opened and dropped it off.
I don't trust the mail-in ballot, even dropping it off. And my wife loudly proclaimed to the voter people at Save Mart that fact. So I use the machine. I use the machine. And I took my wife there. Now, two things confused me. You know that booklet that they send you with the ballot in the very center?
The sample ballot? Yeah, I got that 3 days after the early voting started.
Okay. Well, people are pulling that ballot out and expecting to see that on their machine or on their real ballot, and it's not the same because the booklet ballot covers all the different areas and not specifically yours. And also, all Save Marts did not have voting. We went to the only one that didn't. Otherwise, things are going well. Vote on Tuesday. Fox News next, 99.1 FM Talk.